You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Creation.
Heart of the community. The next idea.
It doesn't always look like the dots connect, but they do.
Parents of children on the autism spectrum face significant challenges in getting the right education, supports, and other life tools for their kids. And the difficulties don't go away when the kids grow up. Can they live alone, support themselves, be a part of society? And what happens when their adult caregivers age out of watching over them? Today's guest on The Next Idea believes one solution to these questions is forming intentional communities for adult children with developmental disabilities. Communities that, rather than being set apart, are actually integral parts of their neighborhoods. Mary Douglas is the president of LINCS, which stands for Lansing Intentional Communities. Mary, welcome. Good to have you with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
When we use that term intentional communities, what do you mean?
I guess I just like to think that everything that we're doing is very intentional in nature. So rather than just kind of going about our lives day to day and letting things happen as they will, we're really living our lives with intention. So we're intentionally supporting each other, intentionally helping each other along the way, intentionally creating community. So in our case, everything that we do is about how can we create community, not just for our adult kids, but for ourselves as well, for all of the families who are in the same path. How can we support each other and intentionally make community with each other, among ourselves, and with our greater community as well.
Talking about this first community that you're planning and putting together for, as you say, our adult kids, what would it work like and what would it look like?
It's going to look a lot like a typical independent adult, actually. That's kind of our hope. So each individual would try to make a decision about how they want to live, what the best kinds of supports they need, what the best arrangement would be for them. Is it by themselves? Is it with a roommate? And the only thing that we're doing is we're putting these individuals in close proximity to each other so that we can help them create community with each other and support them as they create community with their surrounding neighborhood. So really the individual is making their own self-determined choices about where they live, who they live with, how they get supported, what the neighborhood looks like. And then we're bringing these families together to say, okay, we've got people interested in this neighborhood. You guys want to come make a community here. And the families really, you know, in support of their individual adult, are making decisions to create these intentional communities.
Are you buying houses? Are you finding families that are willing to rent a room out? How are you assembling, if you're saying 8 to 10 people or so in a neighborhood?
Well, and that's kind of the beauty of it as well, is there doesn't have to be one model. It really can be a model that suits the needs of the individual. So in our case, we did just buy a house. We just bought our first house that will house three individuals in two separate apartments. But someone could be in our community by renting an apartment within a block of us. A family could come in and buy a house next door for their child and leave it to them to live in. It doesn't really matter how we acquire that housing. What really matters is that we're being really intentional about keeping ourselves close together and creating community with each other. So that's kind of the beauty of it, is whatever fits your needs will fit the needs of the community as well, as long as you're on board with kind of this intentional community we're all working together.
And then is there someone kind of central to kind of help them along as needed?
Absolutely. And that's the piece that we're kind of adding. That's what we're bringing to this, because, of course, any individuals can go out and find their own places to live on their own, right?
Yeah, right.
So what we're doing is we're inserting a person in the community that we call a community builder. They're a neurotypical person who we're hiring as an employee, basically. They're living within the community. So that doesn't necessarily mean they live in someone's house, you know, with one of these individuals, but they're living also within the community in close proximity. So they may have a house of their own or an apartment of their own, but their job is to kind of be a friend, a neighbor. I like to think of it as an RA when you go to college.
Sure.
So it's a person who's just there to support you, make sure you understand the ropes, troubleshoot, get you to the right person if something's going wrong. So they're not really providing direct care to these individuals. Everyone has to find their own care needs based on their own needs, but this individual is going to help create community among the different residents, make sure they're getting together a few times a week. They help organize a weekly meal together, another weekly social outing together. Maybe they plan parties around holidays, that kind of thing. And then help the individuals also go out and connect with the neighborhood, with businesses and organizations and churches and that kind of thing in the neighborhood.
Is this a paying full-time job or a volunteer? Who is this person? Who would this person be?
The model that we're following, that this person is an employee, but it's a part-time job for them. So really all we're asking them to do is be available in their apartment or house during the evenings and to spend a few hours a week with the community doing community events. You know, it's kind of like, what if something happens in the middle of the night and I don't know where to turn? This person's going to be there. They're my friend or my neighbor who lives next door that I can always count on being there. So it's kind of like, again, let's talk about the RA model. You know, you get free room and board for being an RA. That's kind of what we're doing here. So instead of actually paying them, what we're doing is we're paying to provide housing for them within the community. Typically, they're going to have another full-time job doing or part-time job or doing something else, but we're providing housing for them within our community in exchange for them being the neighbor and the caring friend that's next door.
Totally get the college dorm RA model. That really does fit well. And Mary, you do have a very personal investment in this with a son who's on the autism spectrum. As you think about his future, what are your hopes?
Well, you know, my hopes are like any parent's hopes. I'm hoping for him to have a healthy, happy life, and I'm hoping that he has a way to fit into our community and into our society in a useful way, you know, that he finds pleasure in it and he feels rewarded by it. I think what all of us want as parents, right? It's just a little scarier because we know he needs a lot of help along the way. So that's kind of where this community came from. How can we support each other along this journey, because we all understand it so well, of course, and how can we make sure that our kids are supported? And when I'm gone, I want a community that's there that still has Drew's needs. They know him well enough, they care about him well enough that they're going to make sure that he's taken care of, you know, when I'm not able to. And of course, you know, he has a sister, there's going to be other family members who can help, but we really want a community that's going to surround him and support him throughout his adult life.
Mary, I'm curious, how do you see, compare and contrast this idea of the intentional community? How does that differ from the group home where everybody's together with someone there with them?
Excellent question. And, you know, the group home has kind of been the model that has been used more recently, especially since we took more people out of institutions that were even more confining than that. But the group home model tends to be, I don't want to use the word restrictive, but it's certainly more organized and kind of scheduled. You know, you have snack time that's at 8 o'clock, and you have, you know, there's kind of a schedule that makes it work, that makes the staffing be appropriate. And typically, if one person goes to the ball game, they all go to the ball game because that's how they're staffed. In this case, we want to give as much independent choice to the individuals as they possibly can. The group homes that are out there, there's many great group homes, and they're really good about getting the people out into the community. It still looks different when you take a whole group of people from a group home out into the community versus really trying to take individuals out individually and find the niche where they individually belong and where the good connections for them are in the neighborhood. And that's what we're trying to do, is really let these guys differentiate what their needs are and what their interests are and find a way to support that.
So for others who are listening to this conversation and, you know, living elsewhere in Michigan, boy, do I want to see this in my neighborhood. So someone wants to form an intentional community like you're doing in Lansing. What are the do's and don'ts?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. And, we're actually following the model of a group out of Ann Arbor called Intentional Communities of Washtenaw. You know, one of the things we've learned from them is this is a fluid model. This is not something that's cut in stone and this is how it's going to work. You know, depending on what families come in and what their needs are and what their interests are, it just is evolving all the time. And that's one of the things I think that is not comforting to families, but it's also attractive at the same time. So, you know, you're kind of walking this fine line between independence and interdependence and how it all fits together. You know, I guess my advice would be do your homework. You know, we spent actually 5 years here in Lansing researching, making connections, getting to know other community providers and, you know, kind of really getting the lay of the land so we understood what we were working with. And then we did a lot of assessment and just said, you know, what do we see that really works in current situations and what are we seeing that we'd like to see happen a little differently? And then we finally were able to kind of jump and say, okay, this is the model that we like. This is what we want to pursue. And, you know, there's all kinds of people all over the country that are working on models like this, you know, doing some creative thinking to really come up with some good solutions. And, you know, one of the things I should mention is, you know, we're housing any kind of adult with any developmental disability or even a physical disability for that matter. But we did come out originally of the Mid-Michigan Autism Association, and most of the parents on our board have individuals with autism. And I think one of the reasons that we're so heavy with autism young adults is there's just a huge number of people on the spectrum that are coming into adulthood right now and that will be coming into adulthood over the next decade and beyond. And our institutions really haven't figured out how to support them yet. This is so new that we haven't figured out what nuances we need for these adults. And many of them have very high IQs and intelligence, but they lack some of the really important social cues that make living among others easy for the rest of us. And they really need support and training all the time for new situations that are coming up and how they handle them and what they mean. And so I think that's what's really timely about what we're doing with this intentional community, because a lot of these folks have a lot of skills to live independently, but they still need a lot of support as well because of the social deficits that they have that are part of their disability. And so it's an exciting possibility for a lot of these young folks that really don't need the kind of structured support of a group home, but don't want to live in their parents' basement for the rest of their lives either.
The group is Lynx Lansing Intentional Communities, and Mary Douglas is the president. Thanks so much for being with us on The Next Idea, Mary.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.